Controversial topic. So the shaila is like this. Shaila is that I must preface what I'm about to say. The Reutzchim that are walking the streets of Yerushalayim, Mir HaKodesh, and the rest of Eretz Yisrael, they are, of course, looking for excuses why to shed Yiddish blood. Everything they say is, of course, just an excuse to kill Yidden. And that which they're saying is, of course, not the reason why they're killing Yidden. The reason why they're killing Yidden is because they are Reutzchim and Rishayim. And don't worry, there'll be a special Malkim in Gehenim for all of them. And if there's not enough room in Gehenim, so for them, they'll build a third floor. That's for sure. Okay. With that preface, I have to preface that. But what they're saying, L'Kol HaPochus, is what's causing this wave of Ritzicha is because of the people that are going up to Har HaBayis, which is clear in Halacha that chutz from the whole sugya that we're going to speak about, chutz from the whole sugya, that it's clear that if they are doing something, even without the whole sugya, if you're allowed to go to Har HaBayis or not allowed to go to Har HaBayis, but if they are going up to Har HaBayis, which going up to Har HaBayis is creating this extreme pikuach nefesh and sakana dekamatziv in Eretz Yisrael. That's clear without any shaila that for that alone they will be held responsible, like the Gemara in Kedushin. What's the Gemara? What the other learning over here? Like the Gemara in Kedushin is mashma. That okay. That like the Gemara in Kedushin is mashma. That avada if they are the goyim mitzicha. They are the ones that, as of now, the reason, at least, like I said, they're really bad and just looking for reasons to shed Yiddish blood, right? And it is all over their Quran and their all their other Narishkeit, that by them it's a big mitzvah to shed Yiddish blood. But what they are saying, at least, is the reason they're shedding all this Yiddish blood is because of the people that are going up to Har HaBayis, which they consider to be their, also their holy makim, lahavdil bin kodesh l'chol bin tomelotai. But if, besides the sugya, if that is at least the direct goyrim of all of this recent bloodshed and all of this recent ritzichas. So then it's clear that the people that go up and the people that incite are clearly, clearly putting Klal Yisrael in danger and clearly, clearly will be giving a din v'cheshbon, the same din v'cheshbon that the other Rishayim will be given. For the etzim fact that they put Klal Yisrael into danger. So that's a side topic. Okay?
If it was mutter.
Even if it would be mutter. Even be mutter, right? But let's say, for example, the Arabs say that if you know they have a now again, if they say any Jew that walks around Yerushalayim Mir HaKodesh, we're going to kill all the Jews, right? So then it's of course bikaron just a front to kill Jews.
Right?
If you wear a yarmulke, we're going to kill anybody wearing a yarmulke. We're going to kill. So then for sure, if shteitzach you'd be allowed to wear a yarmulke because then of course it's just a direct front for saying we are killing Jews. Right? If they're saying something which is clear that it's something that is definitely an insightful makom, and it's not a news story, Rabbi Yisai. Rabbi Chaim Zonnenfeld, about this is going back 90 years ago, about maybe even 100 years ago. So I think it was the Ksav Sofer. I'm not sure if it was the Ksav Sofer. It must have been in the Times. It must have been the son of the Ksav Sofer. I'm not sure, but definitely one of the Sofer Eger Einikloch. They asked Rabbi Yisai Chaim, why is it that you guys in Yerushalayim Mir HaKodesh are not being makriv the Korban Pesach? Why aren't you being makriv Korban Pesach? We pass in the halacha that tumas hotra betziba. Even if you're tameh, you're allowed to go up and be makriv the Korban Pesach. And number two, even if we don't have a mizbeach, but the Gemara in Zvachim, we pass in the halacha that makrivim, afalpi, you're allowed to be makriv the Korban, even though we don't have the mizbeach. You can be makriv as long as you go into Har HaBayis. So you can go to the mikvah and take care of the problem of the tumas that come out of our body, like zav and keri. Tumas meis is tumah hotra betzibur. You don't have that problem. The makam mizbeach we don't need. So why are the Jews in Yerushalayim not going up to Har HaBayis and shechting Korban Pesach? Not a kashan all korbanos, but where there's a chiyav like Korban Pesach, why aren't you shechting? So Rabbi Chaim Zonnenfeld writes back like this. He says, you know, the whole shaila here, and he says, there's really a shaila about maybe you need big day kahuna, and we don't have big day kahuna, and he's all types of cheshbainis. He says, but bikaron, even if it would be mutter. He says, avad, we can't do it because it would start a war. Because this is a makim that they consider to be consecrated holy area for them. And they consider that anybody who comes up to that area is being roimis al havdil al chatzeram. And Mamela, it's a davar pashit. He writes over there, davar pashit, that all this is—it shouldn't even be talked about because that's in fact that it's being talked about will get us into trouble. And Mamela, this is already an altamais, as they say. Sorry?
What do they hold that?
They hold it's a holy place. They have that. That was their makim, chutz from Lahavdil, ben Kaddish Lechoil, ben Tumalatayra. the next holiest place in the world by them. It's a shaila. It's machlek is top three or top four, right? Shtibel, this, that, shaila. But there's my, you know, it's they hold it's a holy place.
They hold.
What? No. They have their toma.
They
have their toma.
They hold the shmoma to the akedah. So.
Yeah, their version of the akedah looks something like this. Avram Avinu, right? Itzik, and the Chamor and Yishmael went up to the akedah, and Avram said, this is how, you know, it got a little bit confused, and they didn't have art scroll. So, Mela, whatever, what can you do? So it looks something like this. So Avram said, right, Itzik, Sablaib Du, I'm taking the Chamor, I'm taking Yishmael, and we're going up to the Akedah for a few minutes. Right? So in their world, things, you know, it's a little bit different. So, you know, that's Mela, that's why this Makim, by them, is that's why they built their tumah there and v'chule v'chule. That's
why
the.
Why do they care about Yitzchak? What?
Come again?
Then why do they care about Yitzchak?
Nah, brothers fought the brother. You know, mishpacha is mishpacha. Whether you like him or you want to kill him or not, mishpacha. No, so that's the. So again, I reiterate. So therefore, I'm not saying if they would walk around like Rabbi Strike is asking a very good shayla about the in halacha. The guy says, you know, you wear a yarmulke, we're going to kill all the Jews, and he's clearly saying we are killing all the Jews. Right? And that's, you know, there's nothing to. But if he's saying that this is a makim, which we know is an insightful makim, and it's no chiddush, it's an insightful makim, and it's a makim that really over the course of the last 70 years, and Kal v'chomer beforehand has always been a makim of strife. So people that go up there, b'tzad etzim b'kuch nefesh, is no shayla in halacha that they are goyrim b'kuch nefesh, and they're responsible for all the bloodshed. Again, the other Rishayim that are being their shlichim to bloodshed, again, like I always say, there's enough room in Gehenna for everyone. No one has to run. Right? Now, that with all that in mind, I'll start what I should talk about. That's an aside. Right? That's an aside. Yeah, everybody said, you're not dealing with a, you know, they have musaga. I'll say mamash b'kitzer, it's not our topic, but people make a big mistake. You think there's a musig of like, you know, I'm saying this as an aside, so you shouldn't, no one has to, people get very ragish, very sensitive when it comes to this topic. But just you have to understand over here what we're talking. We're not talking about like there's a council that we can discuss with and make peace, right? I don't know if any of you have read in their preamble, that's like their Magna Carta for the English, that's like their declaration of independence or whatever. So Hamas in their preamble, they write like this. They write, rule number, you know, if you read after about the 17th page, no matter how long you're in the bathroom, you sort of get bored, right? But by about the 17th page, they start really just saying all the rules, like Rachel Betrachtana, right? One of the rules is any place that was consecrated by the Muslim, that is, it was once at one point in the world ever owned by Muslim rule, any place that was ever owned by Muslim rule is officially Muslim property. Right? The end. It is owned by Muhammad. Which means that there's no makim ever to make peace. It's like, you, if this was my backyard, I can't, you know, make a deal with you that, you know, I'll take half my back. It's my backyard. You're in my backyard. Right? So they might. Therefore, you know, hence, right? You have to understand another. I don't know why I'm talking about this now. But then, by the Islam, they have two things. There's a Torah Shebal Peh, Lahav Delal Falaf Ben Kodesh Lachal Ben Tumal Tair, right? And they have a Torah Shebichtav, right? So in the toilet paper Shebal Peh, right, there's a lot of possibilities of change. So, for example, one of the things that they write is that this concept that anything that was once our land remains our land. Loilam Vod Lenatzach Nesachem. Memela, Zokt Hamas, right? Memela in 1988 when they wrote their preamble. Memela, so if ever there would be a peace talk, it is forbidden alpi halacha, Shem Shemaychami, right? It's forbidden alpi halacha according to all the shitas, right? That to make peace because this is our backyard. So Memela, all that you ever hear about making peace talks and whatever, it's all, of course, just a front. Right, so it's like, let's get this now, and let's get this now, and let's get this now. But it's not the pshat that once they get back to Golan Heights, and once they get back Gaza, and once they get back East Jerusalem, and once they get back Mea Shearim, you know, once it's not the pshat that once they get all that back, okay, now it's okay, you can all go and live in Beitar, right, and Kiryat Sefer. Right? It's not going to work like that, because it's impossible. Their shittas and their laws, it's impossible. Right? There's another thing also, which Derech Agav doesn't stem, is that in the end of their preamble, it says over there that, of course, this is all until the Day of Judgment, and on that Day of Judgment, we have to kill all the Jews. Right? So it's, you know, it doesn't, all these things and peace talks and whatever, it doesn't. So again, I want to just make that statement before we start. However, with a very big however, those that help them and give them reasons to kivyachol say, oh, now we have a reason that in the world's view we have a right to actually do, and we become freedom fighters. Of course, they are also gormei ritzicha. That is a topic unto its own. Okay, now halacha, the aspect is like this, right? So if it would even be a possibility of mutter, so then we would be able to discuss all the things. But let's. So there was a fellow who was the chief rabbi of Israel. This is very going back about 50 years ago, and his name was Goren. He had a lot of interesting cheetahs, right? There are certain things in the Torah that he didn't exactly agree with, like the Parsha of Mamzeris, and other things. Right? There was other different things that he tried to get rid of, right? He worked very, very hard, and, you know, but that's a different Parsha. The Parsha of Mamzeris we'll talk about a different time. But one of his great chidushim, and uftus in Israeli society and halacha in general, was his merit of chidush that you're allowed to go up to Har HaBayis. What was this chiddush based upon, that you can go up to Har HaBayis? Such an interesting thing. Well, all the rabbanim before him thought not like that, right? So how could it be that he thought you can go up to Har HaBayis? So he said, some first in the Ravid. The Ravid holds that the kedusha of Har HaBayis is batal, so you can go up to Har HaBayis, number one. Number two, even if the Arshit is not like me, and that you can't, what's the issue of going up to Har HaBayis? There's two issues, basically. We all know that the wall, behind that, from that wall, is the Har HaBayis. That's the Ikra Psak Halacha. That means that until the wall, you're allowed to go up to. That's in many shittas, you're allowed to touch the wall, to put your fingers in the wall, a little more of a shashay, but then become on the wall is okay, on the outside, the wall is okay. On the inside of the wall, starts Har HaBayis. What's the problem of Har HaBayis? So there's two problems. Issue number one is the Tumah HaYotzeis Megufay. Tumah HaYotzeis Megufay means the Zav, or Keri, or Nida, things that come out of the body. Zav HaYotzeis Megufay. That's one type of Tumah. That type of tumah is a little bit of an easier tumah to deal with. That type of a tumah, either if it's a keri, you can go to the mikvah, right? It would have to be a kosher mikvah, and it would have to be a proper tefillah. You'd have to do, you know, cutting nails, and he would have to make sure that he doesn't have anything blocking, and he'd have to make a bracha, right? Because this is a real requirement of tefillah, okay? But with that issue of going to higher bias, it could be dealt with. Zav is a little bit more difficult, because zav means that there's two types. I'm going to just for the sake of simplicity, I'm just going to explain that there's two types of keri that can come out of the body. There's a keri that comes out in a natural oifin, that comes out with an oifin akishui, right? That's you're learning the sixing suvis, it'll actually come up there a bit. That's one type of a keri. It comes out in a normal oifin, whether it's lertsaincha or not lertsaincha, but that's keri. Okay. Then zav is more of a chayli. It's again, for lack of better terminology, it's a keri that comes out of the body just without a kisha. It just happens to come out. That's a sickness. If the person has that, it's like l'abdul, it's like a lecha, it's like some type of a liquid that's coming out of his ear. So it doesn't matter there, it's coming out of there. It's a different type of a, it's a sickness. Okay. The nafkamina is extreme. We don't assume a person has zav. We don't have to assume a person never had this. We can't know if he had this, right? Keri, we know if he had keri. Zav, we can't really know unless the person was aware of it, but the zav has much greater chumradikah requirements in the tefillah. It requires a mayin chayim, it requires a different type of a tefillah and a mikvah. It's not just a regular mikvah. You have to go to a spring, a mayin chayim, and it's a little bit more complex, but it's doable. It's doable if a person would, you know, be desperate to go to Har HaBayis, so, you know, he'd be able to find the mayin chayim. I think there's one by Lifta, right? Just make sure that, you know, there's a lot of reservoirs there anyways hanging out, so just make sure they make like a wall around you going to the mikvah, right? When they come out, which I'm saying that's it's doable. Right? And it's a zav, keri, that's all doable. However, tumas meis is not doable. And tumas meis, the law is that there are parts in Har HaBayis from the chel and onward, which is like, Rambam here has a nice beautiful picture over here, and he tells you exactly where the chel is, you can look afterward. But from the chel, we'll just call it for lack of, you know, English terminology, from the chayil onward, that's the part that a tumma mace is not allowed to go. Okay, so Mamela, with that in mind, it's like this. Says Goyren. Says, look, you go up to Har HaBayis. You go to the mikvah beforehand. Yeah, we don't have to be chayshish for zav. So maybe just go to a regular mikvah, right? You got rid of the tumma seyeti megufas. Aye, tumma mace. I don't want to confuse you. Let me say it in my direction first. What? No, it's only Hachu Basiba when there's a chiyuv to go, like by Korban Beth. So he says, so go up to Har HaBayis, go to the mikvah beforehand, and I, Tumas Meis, how are you going to get rid of Tumas Meis, right? You're all Tumas Meis, everybody was born, everybody's in hospital, whatever, you're all Tumas Meis. So he says, well, Tumas Meis we could deal with also. Why? You just won't go to the chayil, right? I, where's the chayil? So he says, well, my friend, Barney the archaeologist, right? And Dudu told me that the Chayil, they found a stone and you know, and a hairy schnitzel and over there, and it said on it Chayil, you know, or Chayis. They made cheshbainis and whatever, and the Chayil is still here. Right? Barney's not religious. He's not Jewish. Mamzer we took care of. Mamzer is not an issue. But I is not Jewish. He's not. But I, in Kultar Kula, such a person wouldn't be Neman to tell us this. He doesn't know not where it is in the Rambam, the Sugya. He doesn't know who the Rambam is. Thinks he's a doctor. Okay, but you could be Saimich. You could be Saimich. It's a small Shaila, because anyways, the Ravid holds that it's not a problem to go up to Har Bayis. So Mela, all that in mind. So he said, Mutter to go to Har Bayis. Right? And of course, he's Yoirish. All the Piguim out of Yoim Azeh in Gehenim, because as a result of that psak, so Mela, it became, you know, Mutter, quote unquote, to go up to Har Bayis. So Mela, every bloodshed that is at least, attributed to that psak. So, Nachal Geber, you know, the Gemara says in Yabamis, Sifsais is David's Bekever. Person says Torah, so then it says a good shir. So even if he's not alive anymore, they say over the shtickle from him. So he gets more schusim, and more schusim is going to work the other way too. Okay, sure. Right. I told you, I'm not going to be controversial today. I'm just trying to bring out the halacha. Right. So what is the makim to argue on this great psak? Right. So there's two big problems with this. Two big problems. Right. And then the third issue that we'll talk about in a moment. One problem is like this. One problem is that the Rambam argues on the Ravid. Okay, so you say, no, Machalik is Rambam Ravid, and it's a very big tzarich to go up to Har Bayis. It's tremendous. All of us that haven't been there, you guys don't know what you're missing, right? So obviously it's a tremendous tzarich. So the problem is like this. The Rambam writes, it has to do that the Rambam's shita is that Eretz Yisrael, also Gemara Yivam is Taka Dapei Beit, Eretz Yisrael is Kitchel Shaita, Veloi Kitchel Asadlava, which is why you know that the mitzvahs are all Drabbanans nowadays, Shemitah and whatever, Maisa, all that's Drabbanan nowadays, because we all that Eretz Yisrael is Kitchel Shaita, Veloi Asadlava. Masha'enke, Beis HaMikdash is different. Beis HaMikdash is Kitchel Shleim Lashaita, Vila Asadlava. So the Rambam asked the Kasha, why? In Perek Vav, in Halacha Tazayin, and Beis HaMikdash, V'lama Ani Oimer. It's actually one of the very few places in the Gan Sefer Rambam that he writes this Lashon. V'lama Ani Oimer. Why do I say, what do you mean, why do I say? So Rambam has Makaris for it, yeah? He says, V'lama Ani Oimer. Why do I say Kiddush Rishon Yilas Adlavai? Or Kiddush Shara Eretz Yisrael is different. What's the difference to Eretz Yisrael and Beis HaMikdash? So he says, Kiddush Has Mikdash Yushalayim Ibnei Ashchina, V'shchina Eina Betela. The Shchina never left the Kaisel. So I state the Medrash. The Shechina, you know, people have a kasha. It's amazing. Guys go to the kaitzel, the guy's no shaykhus bechal, someone taps him on the shoulder, and boom, he gets from. Right? It's mamish unbelievable. So you think, wow, this guy is married to the kaitzel, and that guy is married to the kaitzel. So there's no kasha. Right? There's no kasha. The kaitzel, the Shechina never left me oilam. So there's different rules by the kaitzel. By the kaitzel, the Shechina is there. So man, that's why you can tap somebody on the shoulder, and boom, he gets from. You go to this, there's a bigger wall. Dirt in China, I heard it's like 4 or 5 times the size. Right? You go to the wall in China, never happens. Somebody taps somebody on the shoulder. Somebody taps you on the shoulder, and over there in China, you're in big trouble. Right? It means your dinner, right? You and some rice. Right? But that's not. But the Shechina never left. So the Shechina never left. You think I'm joking? It's very serious. Yeah? The Shechina leizaza me'olam. So since Shechina leizaza me'olam, that's why the kedusha is not bottle. Mashenki Eretz Yisrael explains the Rambam is totally in kibbish. It's totally in being captured. That was the kibbish of Yoshua. After the kibbish was bottled, when Nebuchadnezzar came, bottle the kibbish, bottle everything, it's all gone. Ezra, when he was Kaivish Eretz Yisrael, he didn't do it through a kedusha of kibbish, he did it through chazaka, whatever, kitzer, Eretz Yisrael doesn't have that kedusha. Nah, Chalil doesn't have kedusha, but doesn't have that level of kedusha. But Mashenkein, based on mikdash, is kedusha and kedusha shait. Come to get the Ravid, he says, not true, there's no chilek. And the Ravid ends with these words. Therefore, lefikach hanichnas ata sham. If you go up to Har Bayis, ain boy karis. This was the psak of karis. Okay. So the only thing is like this. So how do we paskin? Machlek is Rambam Ravid. So there's a sefer called the Mishnah Berurah. Okay. Chazanish once explained in how the chain of psak works. The chain of psak works like this. It's like a train. I explained this once in the past. It's a big site. It's like a train. Okay. So if you take a train across America, there's two types of trains. There's a train with the big stops, and there's like the little stops. Right? So the train and the big stops, then, you know, there's the major train that goes from the big cities. Right? And then there's like, you know, branches that come off. Those are little stops. They're also important. Right? So the big stops would be like, you know, like from, you know, New York to L.A., right? So the big stops will be like Flappish, right? It'll be like a Borough Park. It'll be, I don't know. Monroe, right? It'll be, you know, there's like on the way, right? Mashain Kane. And then it gets all the way to LA. Those are the big stops. The big stops, right? The little stops on the way are like, you know, so there's like all the out of town places, Chicago, Baltimore, Muncie, but I'm trying to get there, right? Where's Cal's from? Okay, right? But that's the concept. So he said, in Pesach Halacha, it's the same thing. Avada, there were G'dayle Oilem and Tzadikim all across the Dairus. But there are some, you know, for lack of a better word, dudes, right? There's Moshe Rabbeinu to Yeshua to Ezra, right? To Hillel to Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Ashi, Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, Rama, Gra, the Goyim, Zok the Chazanish, who's the last stop on the train? Zok the Chazanish, Mishnebrew is the last stop on the train. Now, everything else branches off. The Chazanish is a branch, Rav Yashiv is a branch, Rav Moshe is a branch, right? Everybody, I think ate those. That's how it goes. Everybody's now, from this point on, we don't bad some say different than the Mishnah Berurah, right? We apply what we have. That's, I think, the chain of events. So who's the last stop in the train? No? All together now. Who's the last stop in the train? Mishnah Berurah. Right? Okay, he's the last stop in the train. So Mishnah Berurah has many svarim. He has a sefer called Mishnah Berurah. He has a sefer called the Kutei Halachos. The Kutei Halachos is a sefer that he wrote in Kodshim. In that sefer, he writes down the halacha lemaisa of kodshim, right? Wonderful sefer. So over here, the Mishnah Berurah gives a psak halacha in Siman Tav Kuf Samach Aleph. He brings down. It's actually in the Dirshu one. They bring down on the side. More interesting. You have chelik vav of the Dirshu? Oh yeah. All right. But then you over here in the base, you'll hear me. So he says like this: Mishnah Berurah Tav Kuf Samach Aleph. So you've gotten hay. Hanichnas ato l'makom mikdash. If you go in to the makom mikdash now, listen closely because it's sometimes hard to read Mishnah Berurah, right? Hanichnas ato l'makom mikdash. If you walk now into makom mikdash, right? Even stupid people understand now. Chayiv. Kares. If you walk now into the makom mikdash, you're chayiv kares. Shekulanu timei meisim, uKedusha Rishayna Kitchel Shaita veKitchel Lasid Lavoi, and the Kedusha has never left. Morgan Avram, Rambam, I in the Kutei Halachos. Here he's trying to make a plug for his other sefer. Right? Go and look in my sefer. I in the Kutei Halachos Zvachim Perach Sheichemat Ledaiti. It's the only place in the whole Mishnah Berurah that he quotes not the sefer of the Kutei Halachos, but at least this one. The Perach Sheichet VaMaila. Mashik Kasav Nusham, go and look over there. What I said, so the poor guy's got up. It just cost me, like, you know, he gave up his children's dowry to buy the Mishnah Berurah. So now it says, I gotta go buy the Kutei Halachos. He goes and buy the Kutei Halachos. You know what it says over there? Over there, the Mishnah Berurah, he doesn't mince shitas, he doesn't mince words. He says, it's not just the Rambam, everyone, right? All against the Raivid. Halnichnas at if you go into Harbais. So the Psak Halacha, of course, until Goyren maybe is the last stop on the, you know, at the end of the train sometimes. Like that schmutz at the Darton, you know. So Agapanim, Hanichnas Ata, if you go now to Harabais Chayv Kares. That's mistake number one, that we paskin like the Rambam. Okay, it's a little mistake, right? You say, fine, no, there's a Raivin. When I go to Gehenim, if I hang out with the Raivin, Nishkeferel. The only thing is, right, is that the Raivin's going to be putting, why? Because the Raivid doesn't say the words that it's mutter to go to Har Bais. What were the words?
No
Kares. Oh, Raivid says, Hanichnas ata l'Har Bais ein boi Kares. Right? If you want to say, like, you know, you're allowed to scratch your head. It's mutter to scratch your head. So how do you say it? You don't get Kares if you scratch your head. Right? You know, I'll give you an example. There's a Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah talks about your tefillin strap on the floor. El Yerabba, Mishnah Berurah, I can't remember now. He says like this. He says that if your tefillin strap goes in the floor, you don't have to fast. Right? You don't have to fast. Because he's talking about the sugya that, you know, if the tefillin falls in the floor, you have to fast. If your tefillin strap falls in the floor, you don't have to fast. Right? So does that mean that your tefillin strap, you know, some people, they get up in the morning, they take out the tefillin, right? Yeah. And it's on the bench. It says in the first in the Mishnah Berurah that you don't have to fast. You don't have to fast. Okay, relax. You don't have to fast. Stop fasting. Okay, but does it say that you're allowed to put your tefillin strap on the floor? No. So again, the same idea. Does it say you're allowed to go Arbeis? It says that you won't be cut off from existence. You won't go into Kafakela and be thrown your Gilgal Neshama from one end of the world to the other world until you wind up in a blade of grass, until he spits you out and puts you into a bowl of hummus, right? That won't happen to you if you go to Arbeis, right? But is it permitted to go to Arbeis? No. So in the middle, that's mistake number two. It's forbidden to, I told you, I'm not giving controversy, I'm giving a local maisa now, right? It's forbidden to go to Arbeis, bein lefi the Ravid, bein lefi all the Rishayim and all the Paiskim that ever lived and ever should live, right? That's the chayra number two. Okay. Number three is a zay. Let's just say, there's a shita out there, the Maram Hugi Dugi, and he holds you're allowed to go to Arbeis. You're allowed to, okay? But there's a problem. Everyone agrees you can't go to the Chayl, right? So where's the Chayl? So he said, well, the archaeologist told us where the Chayl is. So the only problem is that the great guy in Rav Moshe, now in that room over there, right, maybe one day you'll be zeicha to be in it in the afternoons, right? In that room over there, yeah, there's a last stop on the train after the Mishabura, and his name was Feinstein. Right? He's the last stop on the train. Okay, whether I have the right to do that or not, we'll talk about when you get there. That's a different story. But he's the last stop on the train. Rabbi Feinstein, he wasn't a normal human being. Right? He wasn't somebody that had, you know, it wasn't normal. Chal wasn't normal, right? Somebody that learned Masechta Shabbos every Shabbos for the last 3 years of his life isn't a normal person. Right? Not Bechlal. Not at all. So in my category, he was the last stop on the train. Saying Chalik Beis, yeah, every Shabbos. I don't know. Whatever you're going to ask, I don't know. Yes, and he did go to Shachris, Rabbi Thurm. Yes, and he did Steinmaker too. Yes, and he ate a filter fish just like you did. Yes. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Could you explain to me after? Forget it. Not again. Right. You want to know where Maisha was? It's a sefer in the back of Shulchan Aruch. Right? You ask your Rebbeim after it. I don't have time for this, Rabbis. But there's a sefer called the Prima Godim. Prima Godim is in the back of Shulchan Aruch. Prima Godim is not a normal sefer. Normal sefarim write questions and answers, right? This is the question. This is the answer, right? The Prima Godim is very small print. Obviously, it was very, very world conservative conscious to make sure to save trees and paper and whatever. So the Prima Godim didn't write questions and answers. He writes, Vim Toimar, right? Something, something, dash, right? Schnitzel, right? Or dot, 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 right? Yishloimar, ayin, right? And then, you know, they don't have art school Prima Godims, right? And you have to sit there and work on a Prima Godim. Meaning, what's harder to learn, a Gemara or a Prima Godim, right? Obviously, it's harder to learn a Prima Godim because in order to know Prima Godim, you have to know Kala Tarkula at every single time you're in the Prima Godim because he's asking this question, this question, this question, right? You know, it's enough to give at least four nervous breakdowns on a Tuesday, a Prima Godim. So it's more impressive if somebody says, I learned the whole Prima Godim, than he says, I learned the whole Shas, right? Because it's, okay. So there was once at a dinner that the great Gaon Rav Moshe was there at some about mitzvah. I don't remember what it was. I heard the story from one of his Zaynikloch. So Rav David Feinstein was there with Rav Moshe, and the person came to ask Rav Moshe Shiloh, and something Rav Moshe held by Tfilas Kalim. So he said that he asked Rav Moshe, but the Prima Godim stayed nishtazay. I mean, the Prima Godim stayed nishtazay. The Prima Godim doesn't say that, right? So Rav Moshe said, no, there's no such Prima Godim. So the young man went like as to get the Prima Godim. He went to get the Prima Godim, you know. So he turned to Reb David, and it goes there. He turned to Reb David and he said to him, it's American Shungaman. Like, you know, American Shungaman, right? Ichabapka learned the Prima Godim, in English, I learned the Prima Godim 297 times. Right? 297 times. It's not that Prima Godim. Right? The guy came, you know, and he said, no, if you turn the page like that. So, you know, 297 times. So by me, you know, you get a Mavar for Rav Moshe. You know, it's the last stop on the train. Okay. So Mela, so Rav Moshe and Chelik Beis in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel, Rav Moshe discusses where's the Chel, and Rav Moshe says, don't know. Right? And Rav Moshe doesn't just say, don't know. Rav Moshe proves that it's physically impossible to know, and no one will ever know. Right? Maybe Mashiach will. Right? No one can know where the Chel is, because Rav Moshe proves, I can't go into this, but he proves from a Betzim Mitzestiri, Kimat and Mishnayis even, that if you're the Arbeis, we know where it is, right? But we don't know if the Chayil is going to start. We do have maybe a leeway of about, you know, a certain area to walk right by the wall. Right? But from there on, we are mesupik where to walk. Now, the tours don't make you walk and hold on to the wall like this. It doesn't work like that exactly on the Torahs. My friends the Rishayim tell me. Right? But the point being that we don't know where the chayil is. And this is the psak of all the paiskim. So, number one, you're not allowed to go up. Number two, the Rav says you can't go up. Number three, the Shabura holds your chayiv karis if you go up. And number four, even if you go up and you would know where to go, but we don't know where to go. Okay, those are the few problems. Right? The next problem is also a few more problems that... for example, the Stipler, when he brought out his letter, he says, I'm not going to talk to Goyrin. We had enough with the Mamzer issue. What are we going to tell him? It's Mutter? It's Osir? It don't work over there, Mutter Osir, right? If he has an interest, if he has an interest, it's Mutter. Now we have to find out why. So he says, I'm not going to talk about that, but I'll say something that'll talk even to him. He says, you're a big tzaddik. You're going to go, and you're going to go to the mikvah, and you're going to do all the shittas and the halachas, and he starts writing all the halachas that he forgot to mention, like, you know, you're not allowed to go up Parei Rosh, and when you go up to Har Bayis, you must make sure to take a proper haircut, and you must make sure that you don't wear extra clothing, because the clothing are tumei meis. You know, you are a big tzaddik, you're going to do all that, and you're going to do all the chatzitas, and you're going to go to the mikvah. He says, but other people are not as big a tzaddik as you. And once he says he wants to go up to Har Bayis, so all the bad guys are going to go up, right? So you're being Goyrim, that all of these, Tumas Meis, and Nidas, and Zavas, and Keris, and V'chule V'chule, are going to go up, right? So if it does a lane, you shouldn't be allowed to go up to Har Bayis because of the Goyrim Mikshol and V'chule V'chule. And I'll give it to Big Sakana, right? Which, as you know yourself, it's going to incite and V'chule V'chule V'chule. As I beside, those are the reasons why it is forbidden to go up to Har Bayis. Clear? Crystal clear. Okay. So the only thing is, so we have one more minute. It'd be a shame not to fill up the clock in that one more minute, right? So it's like this. So the you know. So you have to understand what these things are, Rabbi Yisai. The takes maybe more than 1 minute to say what it is. Not because we don't say anything controversial, but no, because it might take like 8 hours. I was just thinking if I can make time say in 1 minute. Causing Goyim to go up to Har Bayis, that's also not so simple. No. Karis. No, it's going to be too difficult. But so Tachlis, make me say come. Let's make a sikkum, right? Stop if you see a heksher from Goyrin, you probably shouldn't eat it. Right? Also, probably the food is quite old. He hasn't been alive in the last few years also. I could not eat it, right? And v'chule. However, it is quite clear in halacha. It's important, I think, that Yeshiva Bachar knows these things. You know why? Because, everyone's like, what's wrong going to Har Bayis? You can go to this part and you can go to that part. Right? All the brilliant people that, but it is true that the Kaisel, the Shechina leizazim me'oilam from the Kaisel, right? And the Vada, there's no Shaila, that in a Zman like this, right? Can I tell you one word? I want to tell you guys a story. Right, I tell you a story. What? It's a murder. It's almost a murder story. It's almost a murder story. No, I'm gonna tell you one story. I was just going to tell you, but it comes with a vart. It says in this week's parsha, it says like this: that Sari Menu was torturing Hagar. Does anybody have a problem with this story? Sari Menu was probably the nicest person in the world. Right? She's married to Avram. Probably the nicest person in the world. Doesn't so much fit with her persona that she started torturing Hagar. Right? Number two, it's a very big problem. Why did she torture Hagar? Because Hagar, right, looked down at her. So like the Kama. I mean, we're talking about Sari Menu, who the Rashi says was bigger than Avram Avinu and Ruach HaKadosh. It's Bacham Chodim. And to get Ruach HaKadosh, what do you have to achieve? Everyone knows, Mesias HaSharim, you have to achieve the greatest Maila Vanava. So that means that Sari Menu, by far, without a Shiloh, is the greatest Anova that ever lived in the entire world, mitzvah the women, at least for sure, unless Maisha Rabbeinu, because she was greater than Avram Avinu, right? The Rambam asked the Kasha, who's greater, Maisha or Avram? And he says, basically, it comes out Maisha, right? Which means Maisha is greater than Sarah. Fine, right? But that's it. That means that Sarah was the greatest Anova that ever, but when Hagar started looking down at her, so she started torturing, something doesn't shtim, right? So the pshat's like this. The pshat is Sari Menu, and there's another shayla. And she brought in Hagar. Why'd she bring in Hagar? She had 400 balas tshuvas over there that she was being makarif. She had 400 balas tshuvas. And she realized that this one was the one who was makabel the most, and she was the one that was most tzugapas to bring in. She was like, in the kiruv world, if you get a Hagar, That's his mamish, like, you know, you mark on your wall, a hugger. I got a hugger, you know? She's the daughter of a Mitzri king and whatever, you know, some wealthy businessman in Toronto. You know, you got the whole so he said, you know what, you're somebody I see how special you are. I'm going to bring you into the house of Avraham Avinu. It was obviously Oiske Cheshbin. Sarah brought her in, right? So what's the part? So how you talking that Berega, she started staring all of a sudden, boom, not Mistaber. So pshat like this. The pshat is, Sarah was the same Sarah the day before Hagar got pregnant and the day after. She was always being Mechanech and Hagar was being Makabel. Told her, no, Bas Yisrael, well, there was no Yisrael then, but Bas Avraham Avinu doesn't walk around like that, doesn't talk like that. And Hagar was Makabel, and she saw the beauty in Yiddishkeit and whatever. And she was Makarifer, right? Once she got pregnant, now Sarah went down in the eyes of Hagar. Sarah went down. Okay? So what happened? Sarah was doing the same Musar. Nothing changed by Sarah. The next day, she sees her, she says, you know, Bas Yisrael doesn't act like that, Bas Yisrael doesn't talk like that, right? The same Musar she gave the day before. The day before, Hagar soaked it up. Right? She soaked it up. Mamish like thirsty. But the next day after, once she wasn't Machshiv Sarah anymore, said, now now you're torturing me. Once you're not Machshiv something, you're torturing me. Mashal Ma'adav Adayim. I tried to take voice lessons. Right? You're making fun of me? Yeah. Watch it. Yeah. I tried to take voice lessons, right? It's one thing, you know. When, you know, that guy, when I was 9 years old, said, no, take a cigarette. Everyone's doing it. I should have given him a... but to the voice, the Nishkarvet kid. So, now I don't. No. But, so the guy starts telling me, okay, you have to talk like this. You have to talk from your stomach. Huh? Like this. He starts doing all these exercises. He put me on the floor, right? There, I'm on the floor, right? Like this, right? He's like, okay, now talk. He's a Nebuchadnezzar's taskmaster, right? He's like, you're killing me, right? I'm scared, you're killing me. So he said to me a vart. I'll say it in my language. He said to me a vart. He says, the reason why you're being tortured is because you're not machshiv what I'm doing. Because if you'd realize the importance of what I'm doing, so I'm not torturing you, right? You would see this, this is gewaldic. It's a challenge, right? But this is going to help me one day. You know, I had to be in the hospital the other day. I got to even Baruch Hashem, but there was somebody there, a child that was doing physiotherapy. It was the same idea. So the doctor was telling him, the kid didn't want to listen. He was like, Mom, she's really kid. He explained to this kid, I'm helping you. Without me, right, you're not going to be able to move your arm. Listen to me. He said, you remind him to lift weights and whatever, you know. Listen to me, I'm helping you, right? But what's the part? If you're machshiv what you're doing, so then you're not being tortured. Right? Then fakert. Then it's challenging, but then it's gewaldig. So two people come to davening, right? One guy says, "Well, it's avoid the shabalei, it's avoid the shabaglayim, avoid the shaznayim, it's avoid the shabemito, it's avoid." Then another guy comes to davening, so it's avoid. It's a challenge, right? Because if he's machshav, if he realized that his tefillah and his Torah comes to seder, he realized his Torah is going to save somebody from being murdered by a Russia from Gehenna. So then he realizes it's difficult. It's difficult, but it's challenging, right? Mashenkin, for somebody else, it's vayaneh, it's torture. That's the vart. So Basari Meinu, it was torture, right? She wasn't doing any difference, Sari Meinu. No Shaila. But once she lost the chshivas of the master, of the Rebbe, of the teacher, of the goal, so then Meila, then I feel like I'm being tortured. Think about the Gevaldik side. I can tell you a story. You all know, I think, that on Tuesday, or Wednesday, I think it was, Wednesday, so... Yeah. So all of a sudden, my base medrash emptied out. So I'm going to tell you the story. Anyone can leave now. Now I know you want to stay. But so happened was, it was a hafla dikazach. It was the second the shiur ended. At that time, there's a lot of bittul Torah, partially because to get the shiur ends, to get the Seder started, you know, it's a ganz long shiur, right? It takes this man, you see me sometimes out there, right? So that's why they paid me the big bucks. But the second the shiur ended, that's when there's bittul Torah. Fine. The second, mamish, the goes on. They all crowd around me, they ask me shailas. You see what goes on in there. That second, all of a sudden, and I wasn't feeling so good before the shiur, so all of a sudden I felt like I was choking, right? I thought I was going to throw up. Now, throwing up in front of my talmidim is not exactly one of the things that is very appealing to me. It's embarrassing. I was so embarrassed. I felt like I was going to throw up. It was very strange. I wasn't feeling well. And also after a shiur, I'm usually drained. And the whole crowd, like a little bit too, a little bit too close for comfort. And I got up and I ran out, basically. Right? Yeah. The chill was killed. Right? I ran all the way out. I get out of the basement. I feel I'm going to throw up. I can't breathe. My eyes are watering. I can't understand what's going on. So whatever, I felt that way. I figured I wasn't feeling well. So I ran to the sink. I don't know if any of you saw. If you did, you're in trouble. But I ran to the sink over there. I turn around and I see, were you here in the afternoon? No. I turn around and I see everyone in my base medrash is running out. Now, this is all going in slow motion, of course. I see everyone running out of my base medrash, out of the lunch. And I at first I think everyone's running out to see what happened to me. No. Not those guys. All of a sudden I see everyone running out and they're gay, right? Now you have to understand something. I am the children of Holocaust survivors, you know? I'm the, so you guys, your great-grandparents, right? By us, you know, my Bubby, right? She watched her sister walk into the gas chamber and not come out, right? And all of her sisters and all of her brothers. And my Zayda lost the ganze mishpacha, right? So I remember, I was, you know, these were things by us that were normal and they were, I say, you know? And I woke up sometimes in the middle of the night, my brother, Davidl, right? I'm sitting there having a nightmare. I'm in the gas chamber. Listen, you know, my psychologist tells me it's good to talk about these things, but I'm in the gas chamber. I'm going like this. My brother's going, Shaggy, you idiot. Right? Sometimes I woke up without him helping. For stays, tasher, yatsar. Not so pretty. So here I am, and this is all going in slow motion, and all of a sudden I see my whole base medrash packing out. And you know what's going on in the news nowadays. And they're talking with this. And they're talking ISIS, Yimach Shemam. And they're talking chemical warfare. Right? And you remember, you were here during when we all had to get the gas masks. And the guys, yeah. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, Hashem, you have to drop the bomb. And that's it. We're all going to die. Right? I'm in slow motion. I'm crying away. A mile. And you all know. Right? Says, Rebbe, okay? Right? I'm like, yes. I don't want to die. And then it was this gala that it was an accidental mace explosion. let's not go there right now. And Baruch Hashem, the air conditioning system in the yeshiva is flat and took it straight through. And Baruch Hashem, everything's that. But at that moment, I tell you, Emes Mamish, I tell you, I was borrowed, I'm going to die. And I started to be, I want more time. I want more time. It's the first thing that went into my mind is I want more time. And one more time, because when you're machshiv something, if you're machshiv time, right, so then it's every moment is life. Right? But when you're not machshiv time, so then it's boring, time, get rid of it, it's annoying, it's just, you know, the Seder's hard, the Seder's this, the chulei. But it's all totally in that. It's all totally in what you're machshiv. If you're machshiv it, so it's challenging, schwer and horrible, it's not. Verstehst? Job's first.